Blog Talk Radio.
The election. The election is a battle in a war. It is not something unto itself. The result of this election in itself is a matter of indifference. It's a question of how the battle is won and lost, which is important. But there's another issue here. There's also an issue of World War III. And World War III is between the British Empire, better known as the Anglo-Dutch liberal banking financial system on the one side, and the principal nations of Eurasia, Russia, China, India, and other nations, are the targets of intended warfare by the British Empire, which is already turning Europe into a mere colony of the British Empire through the program of the Lisbon Treaty. If the Lisbon Treaty were adopted, and is being pushed for adoption now, there would not be a single nation on the continent of Europe, west of Belarus and Russia, which had any sovereignty whatsoever. The British Empire would control the entirety of that region of Europe, from Portugal to the borders of Belarus and Russia, as a puppet of the Anglo-Dutch liberal financial interests. It is those interests represented in the United States for a long time, have taken over control of the U.S. dollar, control of the United States. Now they're moving in for the kill. The same cartel that put Mussolini into power in Italy, the same cartel that put Hitler into power in Germany. And we're now at the brink of something like a Hitler power taking over the United States. If they grab the United States, then they will grab all of Europe under the Lisbon Treaty. If they control the United States and the part of Europe under the Lisbon Treaty, then you will have an actual fighting war emerging on this planet. You will have dictatorship. You will have mass starvation. The elimination of whole sections of the population of parts of the world through starvation. And that's part of the British program. It's the food war. That's the situation. We're not dealing with an election. We're dealing with whether there is in the United States, in the top layers of society, the moral fitness to survive. And so far, the vote is, in the leadership of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, neither is morally fit to survive. They're as unmorally fit to survive as the people who backed Mussolini and backed Hitler back in the 1920s and the 1930s. And if we allow this to happen, we will get the same kind of treatment that the victims of Mussolini, Hitler, and so forth suffered. That's what he said. We have to win this war against that evil empire. Thank you.
Hello, welcome to the program today. Where are you going to get the truth straight up? I'm not going to hold back. It's not about a matter of race or black against white, white against Mexican, Mexican against Oriental. It's us against the few select who run the world. It's us against the Illuminati. It's the people against the small group of individuals who run the world, who is demonically influenced, whose king is Satan, whose light bearer is Satan, who worships and go to mountains and go to organizations and clubs and bow down to Satan. And yes, our dollar bill has their God on it. And it says, Annuitas Septis Ordo Seclorum, announcing the birth of a new world order. These people even infiltrated long time ago. The British Empire infiltrated a long time ago. They are no longer the British Empire. However, there were families that was running Britain who decided that America was too tough to fight at that time. And later on, they decided to infiltrate. These secret society, these families decided to infiltrate the American government, the American way of life, to destroy families, to destroy individualism, to destroy what they call capitalism and replace it with socialism and then fascism and then total totalitarianism. These people don't care about you. They don't care if Rodney King get his butt kicked and all the black people, African-American people go out and tear up the town. They love it. A house divided against itself will not stand. They understand this concept. They want to have, and the most embarrassing thing is they want to have a two-party system. Two-party system. Somebody give me $2, I'm be mad. Two-party system. If you give me $10, I'll be much happier. We had 10 parties that were in the limelight and out in the public arena, and we were able to have more of a selection than red and blue. We'd be okay as a nation, I do believe. And that's the same problem Iran is having right now. But this time, they're worse. Because not only do we get a chance to pick our elected officials, but we at least get to pick. Heck, they got these men who, in the limelight, they're actually, the religious leaders are actually in the front saying, okay, we want these two to run and one more person. With our system, though, we have secret societies who says, okay, Obama, President Obama, him and Hillary Clinton went over to the Bilderberger meeting, and they disappeared off the map. So CNN and Fox and all these news agencies were trying to find out what happened to Hillary and Obama and President Obama. It turned out that they were actually at these meetings, these secret society meetings. So you get, on one hand, Iran, a few men picking who they want to run, and we got the same people who own our dollar bill, the same people who own the Federal Reserve, which is not federal at all, the same people who design Washington, D.C. like a doggone satanic star and laugh at us, same people who use numerology during 9/11 and laughed at us, same people who had the New York State Lottery, I forgot what it is, New York State Lottery or New Jersey State Lottery, come out 9/11 and laugh at us, the same person who told the same group of people who had NORAD stand down during 9/11, the same people who had Tower 7 blown up and nothing hit it, Heck, they're laughing in our face when they had 19 hijackers from Saudi Arabia, and then they turn around and go after somebody in the cave. And then every week they have like an update. It's like a new Rocky movie. Bin Laden put out a new tape. Hey, man, did you get that cut from Bin Laden? I mean, for real. It is so ridiculous that 19 hijackers supposedly from Saudi Arabia ran into the buildings, hijacked the planes with night colors, off course for a good 45 minutes. Don't you think NORAD can go up there and shoot them planes down or at least escort them back? And why was FEMA there the night before 9/11? They were there on a Monday night. I got a tape for you. They were there on Monday night. So you telling me they have EST? Psychics? So you telling me that they were able to know to be there the night before? Wow. If we had that kind of technology or whatever it is, there wouldn't be no crime. Okay? Maybe somebody had a dream that night or something. But here's the deal. Okay, we as a population have to be aware. And the only thing we can be aware, the only way we can be aware is, first of all, say to ourselves, do we really want to know the truth? If somebody comes up to you and say your breath is hot, do you really want to know that? Or that's an ugly dress. It hurts. The truth hurts. Or you too mean to your kids. That hurts. That hurts my feelings. Okay? My wife told me, your breath is kind of humming. It hurts my feelings. But do I want to know? So I won't go and huff my breath in the cashier's face? Okay? So if somebody tell you that your government is being ran by secret societies, first of all, you're going to look at it and laugh. I told my mom that 9/11 was a complete scam. Actually, I told her, I went over there to Iraq. I go over there and fight for my country. I truly fight for my country, so I don't complain. I try my best as a Christian not to complain. And I have to bring to light some of the things. Now, I don't go and turn against my government and say, we need to store food and get guns and shoot, you know. Even though the founding fathers put that in the Constitution, the right to bear arms, so the government has an uprising like they do in Iran, the citizenry can fight. But thank God they don't have no guns in Iran, because it'll be really, you think it's bad now? I'm glad we have the right to bear arms. That's why the government don't do the stuff that they do to us. But we're heading fast course. We're heading in the direction of a totalitarian government. So we're sitting here looking at them saying, oh man, what a thing that these government is doing to the Iranians. But you ask yourself a question. We're sitting here looking at that. Could we be months away or weeks away or months away from the same thing happening to us, but worse, because we have guns? I like our guns. But at the same time, I wonder what it would look like if the Iranian citizens actually had guns. Do you think the government actually do what they do? It'll be a whole different story. I think he would have probably said, you know what, we're going to have another election. Kind of like we should have did when Al Gore. Well, I mean, I'm not a Democrat. I'm farther away from being a Democrat than I'm a Republican. But I believe in that if you're going to steal an election, come on. It went down to the Supreme Court. Actually, it went down to Florida, didn't it? Somebody knows, let me know. Somebody call in and tell me. Why is it that we have to always have enemies? It's for the military-industrial complex to make money. We always have to have enemies. Name a time when we didn't have an enemy. We make our own enemies. It's not a point that we have enemies and they want to be our enemies. We make our own enemies. Go punch up, if you want, in a search engine, Ramsfeld and Saddam Hussein, yeah. Let's see what pop up. See if you can draw up a picture of Ramsfeld shaking Saddam Hussein's hand. Because we funded Saddam Hussein. All those questionable weapons I saw when I was walking in the desert, I saw those messed up weapons, messed up vehicles all bombed up. Well, those are the same. Those are the vehicles we supplied them. So Saddam Hussein used to be our friend. So how funny we make him our enemy later on. It's the same thing Eisenhower warned us about. I'm going to play that tape right now, if I can find it. Eisenhower telling us to beware of the military-industrial complex. Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States. Good evening, my fellow Americans. We now stand 10 years past the midpoint of a century that has witnessed 4 major wars among great nations. Until the latest of our world conflicts, the United States had no armaments industry. American makers of plowshares could, with time and as required, make swords as well. But we can no longer risk emergency improvisation of national defense. We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry of vast proportions. Added to this, 3.5 million men and women are directly engaged in the defense establishment. Now, this conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development, yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals, so that security and liberty may prosper together.
There is a threat. There is a threat, because if the government wants to, they can make a common enemy, and we can go after that enemy, and war is money. Now, I still believe in Romans chapter 13. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going against the government body. I'm just letting you know. I'm just letting you be aware that if I don't warn you, I'm not going against the government body. I'm not saying that, not yet at least. We shouldn't, as Christians. I think it's like a catch 22. It's like you know in your heart that it's wrong. Abortion is wrong. No matter how you try to duck and dodge it, I believe one thing about the Democratic Party is I believe that once you have an issue that you fall in love with, and it is women's rights. I believe it's women's rights to put the baby on the altar. But if you fall in love with an issue, you're not going to drop it. The Bible says that Satan has blinded the eyes of men so they can't see the truth. And God wants us to come into the light. And that light is that, first of all, He wants us to follow Him, and He wants to be our God. And when we say we are a Christian nation, we need to be careful that we're not holding a banner. Oh, you know, we got In God We Trust on a dollar bill. I mean, if I wear a T-shirt that says I love Jesus and I go to a club or a strip bar, does that make me any more of a, does that make me a Christian? I mean, there's a such thing as judging people, and there's a such thing as judging people, judging. Should I run this, should I go through this, should I slow down before I get to this yellow light so it won't turn red on me? Or should I have my daughter get an abortion? I mean, that's like just flatly jumping from one thing to the next, but we have no, we're numb as a nation. We're numb. We watch TV, and we watch, as a Christian, you shouldn't be watching the show Movie Name Friday. As a Christian, heck, you should be watching majority of a lot of shows on television. God says all things are lawful for me. Paul said this. All things are lawful for me, but I don't put anything under, I don't put myself in a position where, I mean, if you're a male and you have trouble sexually, you don't sit up at 2 o'clock in the morning shuffling through the channels, HBO, Cinemax. You go to bed. Okay? So as a Christian nation, we don't have to wait for Cinemax at 2 o'clock in the morning to have a vulgar show come on at 8 o'clock at night. You don't have to necessarily be cussing. It's just a way of life. It's just a way of life. Living Single. It's a movie show called Living Single. I mean, they don't cuss on that show. But a lot of their ways is not Christian at all. And that was back in, what, the 80s or 90s, the early 90s? Every show on TV ridicules Christianity. So how are we a Christian nation? That's just like me talking about my own mom. I ridicule my own family. Are we a Christian nation? There's too many landmines. We got too many trees in the garden. Or too many fruits to choose from. And I know we don't know what it was, an apple. We don't know what it was in the garden. But, heck, we got a lot. We got a smorgasbord. All you can eat. As many things to choose from. Heck, you can just sit and do crochet. And anything takes your attention from God. Anything. Anything that takes your attention from God, you're in trouble. Anything. I don't care if it's a ministry. I don't care if it's what I'm doing right now. If it takes my focus off of God, I'm in trouble. And as a nation, our focus is not on God. Our focus is more on the Super Bowl. Our focus is more on the NBA championship. Our focus is more on if Victor Newman's going to be found dead or not on Young and the Restless. Our focus is on a brand new episode of Tyler Perry. Our focus is on American Idol. Our focus is on, could the Detroit Lions actually win a game next year? That's my team, so. Hey, I'm not going to jump off the bandwagon. But that is our focus. The Bible says that in the end times, the days of the God will come like a snare. That means surprisingly. That means that the end times will come unawares. The last days will come without warning. Okay? I got a Russian economist I want y'all to listen to. Here we go.
Igor Nikolaevich, to one of your previous lectures, you mentioned that the United States could be actually disintegrating in the near future. You made such theories about 10 years ago when the United States was a flourishing state. What are you basing your theories on?
In the light of today's crisis in the U.S., many people started talking about possible major changes in the country. But I expressed my concept back in September 1998 in Linz, Austria, at the Information War Conference. On the 9th of September, I produced a report with a very unusual ending. I kept the ending of my report secret from the other participants of the conference. A huge map of the United States appeared on a 40-meter screen. I pushed a button on my computer, and this map fell into 6 pieces. 400 people in the audience cried out in shock. Before the map fell apart, it had the disintegration of the USA in 2010 written on it. My statement got a huge response, but even to my surprise, many Americans and Europeans took my ideas very seriously. At the time, I emphasized the 3 main reasons which, in my opinion, could lead to the collapse of the US. The first one was the moral and psychological factor and the stress of the American population. The second one is the financial and economic problems. And the third one is the increase of anti-Americanism in the world.
Well, let's imagine the United States really start to fall out. How will this disintegration happen? And how many parts will the United States be divided then?
At that time, I expressed my concept. It would fall into 6 parts, and I backed it up with several factors. First of all, there were the ethnic, economic, and geographical factors. So we see a totally different ethnic group and ethnic interests. Texas and the Gulf of Mexico coast are a fuel and energy complex, the oil sector. California is Silicon Valley and high tech. Considering New York, Washington, and the Atlantic coast, they are all financial centers first of all. And the northern states of the U.S. are basically the depressive states, which are close to Canada in their mentality and economic development. This is how I divide these parts. The danger is this would not be a very beneficial solution for Russia.
Well, as soon as you've mentioned it, how this potential disintegration of the United States can affect the world, and in particular, what will it mean for Russia?
Okay, that was the Russian economist talking about the United States and being broken up into pieces. I want you to listen to the other part two, if I can find it. Yeah, we're going to have our own civil war. People's watching Iran, but we might finally end up having our own civil war. Well, here's part two.
The Russian economy and Russian industry is very much dependent now on the situation in the United States. Of course, if this crisis keeps developing, Russia is going to face quite a hard time in the next 6 months. In this sense, Russia, in my opinion, should do its utmost to minimize the influence of the American crisis on its internal structure and of the social and political stability and economic stability. For the approaching meeting of the 20 most economically developed states in the world in London, Russia suggests, and I fully support it, finding a new supercurrency instead of the dollar, and finding those mechanisms that would satisfy not only Russia, but the BRIC countries as well, i.e. Brazil, Russia, India and China, and other countries such as the EU, first of all, as France and Germany are making some very similar suggestions. If the disintegration of the United States does take place, Russia would certainly receive the levers of influence on many world processes after some time. I'm convinced that during the US disintegration, Alaska should return to Russia, and then Russia, together with the EU and China, would become a sort of guarantor of stability on the territory of the US.
In the course of world history, there's always been some kind of leader, the state which has been taking the functions of a leader. During many years, such leader was the United States. In case it falls out, in case it disintegrates, who will become such leader in the world?
I'd say there are three centers. First of all, it's the EU, perhaps fortified by the Atlantic America, which would release us from the need of splitting Europe into the old and the new Europe. This would mean eliminating forces that opposed the euro. Then it's Russia, which would return on the American continent by means of Alaska. And then there is China, of course. The existing system of forecasts for the development of the world economy is absolutely ineffective. Over the past 3 months, the International Monetary Fund, I emphasize, has changed its forecasts 8 times. And not just the IMF, but many other international organizations. Consequently, the talk is about the creation of a powerful analytical international center that will be able to do realistic analysis of the international financial and economic situation and will issue recommendations. Therefore, I am insisting that a so-called mechanism of 5-sided commissions be set up, 5 from 5 continents. This commission is to comprise representatives of Russia, the United States, India, China, Brazil, Germany, France, and several other countries, whose task will be to create powerful instruments of national and international forecasting. And I would like to emphasize that over the past 6 months, many Western experts have been criticizing me for my forecasts about the future of the United States. But what makes me happy is that until recently, not a single international expert has criticized my idea of a 5-sided commission. This fact is filling me with optimism that some form of mechanism will, after all, be created after a meeting in London.
People don't want to hear about the truth. What he's saying is that people didn't want to hear it at first, and then they have to take them seriously after a while. But people don't want to hear the truth. I noticed that if you're talking about things that people want to hear that's going to help them get rich or get money or get this or get that, they're gonna listen to you. I noticed that I'm going to tell you the truth. Now, even on my other shows, I'm going to tell you the truth, you know. And I'm not trying to hold back now. I'm not going to sit up here and just judge you straight out and say, you're on hell. I mean, that's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that God is warning people that hey, I'm going to come back. And I notice a lot on Blog Talk Radio is that people, there's a lot of people teaching people how to get, you know, money. And at a time like this, I can understand that. But at the same time, the Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? So a person like me, they're not really going to listen to. Now, my other programs may be. But right now, I'm going to tell you the truth. See, the reason why I lose out with the people who want to hear about conspiracies because I really don't talk about conspiracies strong enough. The reason why I lose people when I talk about, as far as Christians are concerned, is because, number one, I talk about conspiracies, and number two, I'm going to tell you that Jesus Christ is coming back, and most Christians don't want Jesus Christ to come back yet because they got other things they want to take care of. And that can range from I got to finish school to we're going to get a new house to I want to see my grandson graduate. I want to see my son graduate. I want to get a girlfriend. I want to get married first before Jesus Christ comes back. And things get worse and worse and worse. Your attitude gets worse and worse and worse. You increase while Jesus decreases. I've been there before. Heck, if you don't come back soon enough, the elect will lose their place. Because as time goes on, the more the more secular our society becomes, and the more it affects Christians. Instead of us being a light, the darkness is taking hold of us. And instead of us taking the kingdom by force, we're letting society come in and take us by force, Luke and warming us up. That's why you got all these movies coming up, these movies in Hollywood, blaspheming the Lord, you know, say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Sometimes you can get a little bit too much praise the Lord in these movies. I ain't going to mention no movie's name. Medea. But anyway, we can't get to a point where we are so numb that we can't tell what's going on. And we can't get to a point where we get so numb where we don't want Jesus Christ to come back. The Bible says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are people who get a special reward for looking for Christ coming. There are people who get a special reward for upholding what is in Revelation. For reading it. And keeping it, keeping the words of his promise. The Church of Philadelphia was weak, but with Christ they were made strong. They decreased that Christ may increase. Laodicea, the Church of Laodicea, claimed to be strong where they were truly weak. And they increased while Jesus decreased. If you listen to some of the preachers on TBN or some of those preachers, you're going to notice they demote Jesus. They no longer believe that he is the Savior of the world or he was God in the flesh. And what did it say in John? The person who don't believe that Jesus Christ came as in the flesh as God is the Antichrist? Huh? They're literally Antichrist. Now, I'm going to have these shows earlier in the day. I got a kid, so that's the reason why I can't have my shows earlier. And believe it or not, I can't believe I forgot. Literally, actually forgot about a show that I had yesterday because I did it so fast. The show was supposed to be on at 3, and I just forgot. So now what I got to try to do is package the show into segments where I can actually upload them. And if the kid's making noise, I just put the phone on mute and just do it that way. So God is doing a work in our mainstream media, in our news. He's showing some Christians that, hey, we're getting close to your coming, either 18 months away or 4 months away, whatever it is. God is showing us that something's happening. Now, I'm in the belief that something's going to happen this year, but I'm also in the belief that it might not be time yet. Now, get off that thing, no one knows the day and hour, because I'm getting sick of people saying that. You know why I'm getting sick of people saying that? Because a day and an hour, it doesn't take a Harvard University degree to figure out a day and an hour is different from a month and a year. So if I say I think Jesus Christ will come back in the next 2 years, oh, yeah, but no one knows the day and hour. It sounds like the scoffer. Oh, since the forefathers fell asleep, oh, we always said he was going to come back. But Jesus Christ, he's not coming back until he's ready to come back. And that is so true. So, what I plan to do with this radio program is I plan to get more organized. But I don't want to get too organized where the Lord is telling me to do something and I'm so keyed on to paying attention to a role or a script that I'm not going to know when the Holy Spirit comes and says, say this, say that, do this or do that. But I'm going to be saying a lot of things that I'm going to expect my numbers to be low on this show, at least. I'm making another show called The Common Salvation, and I'm also going to have a devotion, a daily devotional, every morning every day for 15 minutes. And I'm pretty sure them numbers are going to go high. And during that daily devotional, I'm still going to find devotions that is going to tell you the truth. Because if I don't tell you the truth, then I won't be doing you any justice. Okay? So I must warn people like Ezekiel 33 has said. Okay. Now I'm going to read right quick a part of Ezekiel 38 because I believe that we're near the time period where Ezekiel 38 and 39 is going to take place. But before that, I believe that Psalms 83 is going to take place. I believe that also Isaiah 17 will take place. In the near future. Now, if it's 1 year, that's what's going to happen, is in 1 year, or is it 4 months? Whenever, this is my belief, it's not nothing out, the church won't find this out until we're up in heaven. And the Jewish people won't find it out until after the rapture, because it's the time of Jacob's trouble. When Jesus Christ comes and gets his church, and yes, there is a pre-trib rapture. If you read the Bible, and I'm being sarcastic, if you read what he said to the church in Philadelphia, he says, I'll keep you out of the time of testing. Why are you going to want to run around? He said he's going to frustrate the saints. So that's everybody. So he said the elect, the saints. The saints, it doesn't take me a Harvard education to figure out the word saint and the word elect is not the word church. He says, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So if the Antichrist is frustrating the saints, isn't he prevailing against the church? And if the word church is not found anywhere after chapter 4, why you got to go beg the word saints and replace it with, is everybody dyslexic? Do we have to go and find the word church for you? There is no word church. That means the church is gone. So the times right now is the time of grace. It's the time that God is looking at the Jewish people. The church. Excuse me. At the time when God comes against his church and it says judgment will begin in the house of the Lord, that means the rapture of the church. That means we're standing in front of God to give an account. For 7 years, we're up in heaven. Well, the times return back to the time of Jacob's trouble. So God's attention will return back to the Jewish people. So the Jewish people will be able to look backwards and say, what happened to the church? Oh, yeah, in Matthew 24, he said that no man know the day and hour. But he wasn't actually, I get it. Because the Jewish feast, the Feast of Trumpets, was a thing where they talked about a husband, a father sending his son out, like Abraham sent Eliezer out to find the son a wife, and they paid the father of the daughter a dowry and said that my son will return for your daughter in about 2 years. He's going to go back and prepare a place. So Isaac comes and he starts to prepare a place. And the place is when Jesus said in John chapter 14, that in my Father's house there are many mansions, and it was not so I would have told you. I will go to prepare a place for you. And if I do, I'll go, prepare a place, return, and come and get you, and receive you unto myself. So the Father sent Jesus to the earth to die on the cross to come back, and now he's preparing a place for us. It says that no man can come to the Father unless he's drawn by the Spirit of God. So Eleazar went out, looked for a wife for Isaac, and at an appointed time, Isaac will go for the wife, take her out like a thief in the night at a designated time. Now, Hosea said to the Jewish people, after 2 days will he revive us. On the third day he raises us up that we should be in his sight. 2,000 years, a day to the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. After 2,000 years, God revived them in 1948. Jesus said, this generation would not pass until all these things be fulfilled. What generation is that? So from 1948 to 2018 is 70 years. I don't see too many 80-year generations. So God does things exactly to the number. Jesus was on earth 40 days after his resurrection. The Jewish people wandered around the desert for 40 years. There was 400 silent years in Israel before Jesus Christ came. So God, he works in numbers. So exactly to the time he's going to come back for his church, believe it or not. But it's a two-day event. So I wouldn't go preach this to nobody because we live like it's 1999. But what I'm trying to show you is that whenever year he comes back, it'll be in the fall. So if you know that the day of the Lord is coming, things will start to look exactly like they do in 2009. You'll see a little taste of pestilence, swine flu. You'll see a couple earthquakes. You'll see a few wars and rumors of wars. You see revolutions. Didn't he say in Luke that there'd be revolutions or commotions? So we'll see those things happening all at the same time, but in slow pace, because when the woman's going to have the baby and she's a couple of weeks away from the baby, she has contractions. But when she gets closer and closer, there's more birth pains and more and more and more. That's why the Bible says in Luke 21 is that the day of the Lord should come like a snare. Or not the day of the Lord, but the time, you know what I mean, when Jesus Christ comes back. It will be like a snare. It'll sneak up on people. It says, the day of the Lord should come as a thief in the night. That's why God tells us to watch and pray that you'll be able to escape these things. Because if you don't pray and watch, you're going to be caught in the Obamanistic society where you're looking for a man to save us all. You're going to be caught in the economy. You're going to be caught in 1 John 2:15. Love not the world or the things of the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is keeping you away from actually understanding what's going on. That's why I don't have too many big numbers with this program. Well, tonight I won't because it's late. It's like 3 o'clock on the East Coast. Now, the earlier I get, the more people I get. Now, I'm not saying that. I'm saying I don't have big numbers because I'm going to come out and say it. When the rapture of the church happens, do y'all understand? It's not going to be what y'all think. Do you understand? Kids, babies, ladies are attached to their babies. I feel bad for ladies that are not saved. Especially the ones that are carrying a baby for the first time and they couldn't have a baby and they're not saved. The baby is not going to be in your stomach after the rapture of the church. It's going to go flat. You're in the age of accountability. If you have a breadwinner in the house that's saved and you're not, what are you going to do? You know how many people are going to go crazy during that time? They need to start manufacturing more straitjackets. I'm not kidding. I feel bad for saying that, but yeah, they're going to have to start, because there's going to be some crazy people. And the devil, I mean, God, actually the Bible says God should send them a strong delusion. They better help that delusion help them from going crazy. Well, UFOs, okay, I'll buy that. If your kid disappear, and my baby disappear right now, I love my kid. If my kid disappears and vanishes, what am I going to do? So all the people going around saying there is no rapture, then what is the blessed hope? What is there to hope in? We're like every other man. We're like every other person. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins to keep us out of the wrath of God. The tribulation period is the wrath of God. It is not the wrath of Satan. Satan's killed missionaries. What do you think? God is just, the missionaries got killed. What do you think? God is just going to help the Christians get by? Yeah. Pretty much. You're using logic. I'm using scripture. I don't see the word church. The church was mentioned from chapter 1 to chapter 3, 19 times, the word church. When the Antichrist shows up on his horse with arrow with no bow, or bow without no arrow, the word church is no longer mentioned. Actually, the word church is not mentioned past chapter 4. It's not mentioned in chapter 9, 20, 21. Just that alone should tell you there is a rapture. For the Lord himself should descend from the clouds with a loud shout and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we who are alive and remain should be caught up in the air to meet the Lord in the air, and then we should be with him forever. Now, did we run around and get anybody? We should pick up, the angel should pick up his elect and go all over. The word elect can be people, the 144,000 Jews, the two witnesses and the two angels are preaching the gospel. That's why people come to Christ. Where's the church? Did the gates of hell prevail against them so they can't preach the gospel? Shouldn't they have a seal? So this is probably going to be my last show defending the rapture, because I think it's ridiculous. The word Bible is not in the Bible. The word abortion is not in the Bible. Okay? So what's your point? The word rapture is not in the Bible. The word millennium is not in the Bible. It's still 1,000 years. The word thousand is in the Bible. What's your point? They use ridiculous points to prove the rapture does not exist. Lot was taken out the city. The Jewish, the Israelites were always protected when they did what God said. Noah was taken out the city. I mean, taken out the world into an ark. These people were righteous, but they were only righteous because Christ gave them his righteousness, even in the Old Testament. Why do we have to demote God? Can he build a rock that he can't lift up? God can take elements from a person who died in World War II, from nowhere. Blew up an airplane. Elements nowhere to be seen. When he says, Howard, Smith, Mulroney, come on up here. All the elements come together. Okay? God is going to come back, and you will be able to tell when at the door. If it's this year, you'll be able to tell. Matter of fact, there's signs in the skies in July. Look it up. There, in the times of Av is a 10-day period. On the ninth of Av is when the Jewish people lost their temples. It's when Adolf Hitler gave a decree to kill the Jews. It's when the Lebanon War. Okay, the last Lebanon War. So this coming 21st to the 31st is a sign, a solar eclipse. He says in Luke 21 that I shall send you signs. If this is the year, next year is the year after that, because it can't go past 2018. 2028 will be 80-year generation. We don't have 80-year generation. I don't see one in the Bible. There's 70-year generation, exactly to the dime. So if the tribulation period starts this year, then it makes 2012 the middle, 2013 the middle of the tribulation period. Then we're going to know why God was, the Satan was able to cohort people to believe that 2012 will be a big time. So you're going to see the Pandora's box open. And next year they have a sign too. Last year at 888, they had a sign when Russia went into Georgia. Check it out. Go to NASA. Go check it out. Go check out the month of off, the times of off. Okay? God bless everyone out there in the chat room. I know it's not that many people. I'm trying to do the show and all my kids are asleep. And what I'm going to do is probably just tape the shows and put them up in increments, and then in the last 5 minutes take calls. Last 10 minutes take calls. That's the only thing I can figure out. Okay, let me look for some theme music, because yesterday I forgot about the theme music at the last minute. So all you people in the chat room, God loves you, and God will be with you throughout the week. And whoever's listening to this tape and you're not saved, make sure you make Jesus Christ your personal Savior and live for him daily. I'm not talking about a one-time prayer and you get up and we've been living. You have to have a changed life. We're new creatures. Now, I'm not saying you're going to become perfect overnight, but God will work with you and through you. Okay? So God bless all of you out there. Keep your eyes on Jerusalem. That's where a lot of things are going to take place. And if this is the last year, and this is the year that Jesus Christ is coming back, you're going to see a lot of things happen within probably a 30-day period. Okay, not so soon. Probably sometime in the near future. You're going to see the fall feast, which is September, October. That's when I believe the rapture will happen. God bless.